All right, we are live.
Yay.
Welcome back to Spill with Spearmint. We are welcoming John and Sherry back to the podcast.
Thank you.
And today we have some Q&A questions we collected from Instagram. So I'm going to just start firing them off for you guys. Let's just start right out the gate with, how do you and John handle conflict? My husband and I really struggle when we argue.
Well, that's a good one. So we've gotten better at it. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. I mean, we've been together.
Shame we're not filming this, because Sherry's eyes said a volume when I said, I think we're better at it.
Well, I met John when I was 27, and I'm 48 now. So we've been together 21 years.
We have.
So
our anniversary's coming up.
Yes, we better be getting better at it. We're still together.
Yes.
So I think that both John and I are type A personalities. Would you agree?
Yes.
So, and we're also both very high strung. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree with both of those things.
Passionate.
Yes. Opinionated.
Opinionated is key. So
perhaps stubborn at moments.
Yeah, I think a lot of people with some of the arguments we've had probably wouldn't still be together.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
But these are the problems. So what's the answer? Here, I have a theory on the answer, but what do you think? Do you have?
Well, I don't think it's a simple answer. I think that for me, after I am able to say everything I want to say in the argument, which I probably usually do, I want to move on pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say everything I want to say, throw out all the insults if I'm going to insult you.
There's usually insults involved. Asshole is up there. You're such a dick. That's another one that comes up a lot.
I do use a lot of profanity argue.
Yes. I do not make personal attacks. It's not my style. I pick apart someone's logic. Mm. So here's my theory on why we're still together and we haven't killed each other yet.
Okay.
The short answer is we have the same goals. Mm. And life gets infinitely less complicated when, as a couple, you have roughly the same goals. We don't have perfectly the same goals, but we have largely the same goals.
But I don't think that when we're arguing in the heat of the moment, we're like, yeah, no, we have the same goals, though.
No.
I think that's...
But that's how we get through it. Like, what happens, I think, is, first of all, when we argue, it's almost always about stupid shit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Right? So we argue about stupid shit. And then sometimes...
Give an example. What's an example?
God, of stuff we argue about? Like parenting styles with kids sometimes.
I don't think that's stupid, though.
It's not stupid, but there's different approaches to it. You're fair. That's not stupid. That is something we argue
Give
about.
Give a stupid argument.
A stupid argument.
Usually you can't even remember. They're so stupid, right?
Like, my driving is one that comes up, for sure.
I don't think that's stupid.
I think it's stupid.
When you drive, I don't want to get, like, murdered.
I understand that. But if we were to talk about the driving records of everyone inside the family, one would have to come to a certain statistical conclusion that even though you may not agree with my driving style, my driving style has produced a record.
Yeah, that's true.
That
I'm a horrible driver.
Right? Is superior to the rest of the people in the family, whether you like my driving style
or
not.
That's true. And you do drive way more than I do.
I do. I drive you guys everywhere.
Yeah.
And yet, somehow, I am constantly questioned on my capacity as a driver, as a parking spot picker, as a, right, all the things that drive men nuts.
I really don't think I criticize your parking spot picking, but you do drive very aggressive and it makes me nervous.
Yes.
Anyway, so back to the question though. So yeah, my answer to this is, in the heat of the moment, I'm really not thinking about, yeah, we have common goals, let's be done with this argument. I'm thinking about, can I get everything said that I want to say as quickly as possible in probably not a very nice manner? Yeah. And then can I move on? Because I have so many things on my to-do list. Like, wasting time being mad and arguing to me is not productive, or it doesn't make me feel good either. So I think that I just like to move on really quickly. Have the argument, get it out, don't hold it in. And then move on and then get back to productive things.
And your things tend to be more like eruptions. She tends to like hold things in.
Eruptions?
A really long.
Eruptions.
Yes, they are. So what happens is she'll hold it in. Something's been bothering her for weeks. And then all of a sudden, like, 87 things that have been bothering her. They just all come out.
Like what?
And my style, well, hold on. My style is I try to avoid arguments, so I get quiet when we argue until she pushes me to a point, and then I go from like completely quiet to, but I just like, you know, I'm like, I push back hard. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like that's not necessarily true, and we might just, I feel like we might get in an argument about
how we're arguing.
Because this is not going to be accurate. A new one.
So what's not accurate?
Well, John went through a long stage where he would actually leave the house.
Yeah, because I didn't want to argue.
I think that's weird.
It's not weird. It's just I don't feel like fighting. I think it's stupid.
Anyway, I just think as a couple, you have to, like, you know, you go into a marriage and you have to know not every day is going to be perfect. You're going to have blowout arguments. And at the end of the day, you just have to say you're sorry. Sorry is key for me.
Yes.
I need a sorry. No matter if it was your fault or my fault, I need a sorry. And, like, I need, like, you got to forgive each other, mm-hmm. right? So you have to have an ability to put yourself in a, I guess, in a mental state where once you argue, you have to be done. Like, you just can't keep going. You have mm-hmm. to say, hey, I can't keep going with this argument. I've said everything I want to say. You know, we are both somewhat of an asshole in this argument. And let's move on now.
Yeah.
Like, it's a choice.
I do.
It's a choice to move on.
I agree with that. We do choose to move on. And I think, you know, anyway, I've said what I said, but I think part of the reason is because we have more important things to do.
Yeah. But I think if you were giving advice to a couple, I would say have the argument and then make a conscious decision to both forgive and move on at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Put it in the past.
Mm-hmm. And then focus on what's actually important. Because like I said, most of the things are not that important.
To me, it's like any other habit you have to practice.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
And if you practice that skill, you'll get really good at argument recovery.
That's one of the benefits of working together is you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Right? So like what happens is like when I was working in the corporate world, we would have an argument and I would just go to work and run away to work for 12 hours, right? And it made it easier. When you work together, you don't have a choice because you're like involved with each other 24/7. So that's actually one of the things I think was the best outcome of having a business together, even though it was difficult early on in particular, is it forced us to improve our communication. It forced us to recover more quickly from arguments. And it was a good thing. So,
yeah, but it's really easy to get in a headspace where you have like a pity party for yourself. Like my husband sucks the most. My argument's the worst. It's like every married couple has arguments.
Yeah.
Right. So just remember that and have your argument and then you're done. Right. Mm-hmm. And don't be, I mean, it's for you to say that you're never going to have an argument again is ridiculous.
No, I know.
Everybody's going to have the next one.
No,
we're going to have the next blow up one.
Yeah. We might have one in 5 minutes.
So then use the skill that you learned about recovery for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I think we beat this for that.
Yes, we have. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think that goes into what you guys said last podcast is that you guys both respect that each other is straightforward people and you're going to be honest with each other. And then you guys have the same goals.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's
like,
where the respect comes from.
One of the things I respect most about Sherry is her work ethic. Like she's one mm-hmm. of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And I really respect that about her. Like mm-hmm. no one wants to be in a relationship with someone who you feel like the other person in the relationship just isn't putting in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing about the two of us is whether it's the business, the relationship, the kids, the house, whatever, like the two of us contribute to everything. Like mm-hmm. we are not like mail it in kind of people. And I think that's a core value that we both hold that helps us a lot.
I agree. And I will add to that. I got a DM from someone the other day when I pointed out that you hadn't unpacked your suitcase for 5 weeks and that like I'm like the most patient wife. And I was thinking, oh, I like that comment first. And but then I was thinking, well, that the reason is that I haven't gotten his case is he's doing 5,000 other things.
Correct.
It's not like he's like laying in bed all day. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you're selling the house. So we're doing so many things.
Fixing cars that have been
yes.
damaged.
I mean, it's just life is busy and
yes.
you're always doing something. So yeah, I try not to.
Correct.
I try to pick my battles.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Right? And the suitcase just on the floor.
It's inconsequential.
Yeah, it's inconsequential. It is what it is.
So kind of on a similar note, maybe, what is the biggest challenge in your marriage?
Oh,
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, in the past I would have said there were challenges. I don't think there's a biggest challenge. I think that, I mean, I think raising kids is challenging.
Yeah, I think raising kids is challenging. I honestly, this will sound super corny, but like, I actually don't think there's a ton of challenges either in the marriage right now. She's my best friend, right? There's no one else I would rather spend time with. When I travel without her, I miss her. And, you know, we go everywhere together. We do everything together. We go to the Suns. We're going to the Suns game together tonight. And we're going to sit together because I actually like sitting with my wife. That helps a lot. Now, I will joke about the fact that, look, this is a real marriage. And it's, you know, she's a real wife, which means we don't always see eye to eye and get along. But at the end of the day, I can't imagine doing this with anybody else. So to me, if you have that belief about the person that you're in a relationship with, everything else is kind of easy.
I think we are at a different place than a lot of people. And when I look back, like, you know, 20 years ago when we had no dough, we're broke. And, you know, John was married before me. So there was a, you know, an ex-wife situation, which we can save for a different episode.
Yeah.
But that was really, really challenging. So I think the financial...
Building a business was hard.
Yeah, starting the business was hard. You know, we're lucky that we're in a place we're at right now where we're financially stable. Yeah,
I would say fortunate, not lucky. I mean, when the Harper...
Did I say lucky?
You did.
Okay.
And when the Harper and Rex were at midnight sleeping on the floor of the warehouse, that wasn't luck. We worked our asses off.
Yeah, and, I agree.
But it, to your point, it was a lot harder then. Like, I mean...
Those were challenges. Those were real challenges.
Yeah, when you don't have enough cash to figure out how you're going to pay the bill, that's hard. And I think a lot of people have been through that and live through that on a daily basis. When money is difficult, marriage becomes a lot harder. And so getting on the same page with money issues is a big one.
Yeah, I honestly, like lately, I've heard so many podcasts talking about how money's not everything, this and that. And I just like... I completely disagree. I think when you have money and you're financially stable, everything becomes ultimately easier, even spending time together, right? When you don't have any money, you can't even spend time together.
Yeah.
You're all working different hours, right? And you can't afford to go to a restaurant, right?
Yeah, look,
I can't afford a babysitter.
I understand the argument for money isn't everything, which is that your mindset needs to be not everything is life or death, right? Which I get. But I also get the fact that when something happens, if there's an illness or if there's a car accident or there's some appliance breaks in your house and you don't have the money to fix it, that's hard. And so getting to a point where those things don't, you know, put meaningful stress in your life, I think there's real value in that. So, but I do applaud the people who can live their lives like kind of in a very, you know, minimalistic way and kind of minimalize that stuff. I think that it's a great skill, but I agree. It gets a lot easier if you have room to maneuver because your finances permit such.
So on a more positive note, do you guys have any family travel tips?
Yeah, don't. So we didn't travel with the kids when they were little because we had this equation, right? Which is if the misery of the travel was greater than the joy of the trip, maybe we should just wait. And so we didn't really start traveling internationally with the kids until they could walk around the city on their own. We didn't do like the stroller in the city kind of thing. And I see plenty of people who do it and I applaud them. But that wasn't us. So our first tip is wait until the kids are a little older and they can actually enjoy it and be independent. And for us, that was around 8-9 years old.
Well, I mean, look, we did some beach vacations when the kids were little.
When they had kids clubs.
Yeah. I swear by a great resort in Mexico with a really great kids club. That way you drop them off at 8:30, you go to the pool, you can have a couple cocktails, and then they're doing activities with other kids all day, and then you pick them up at 3:30 and spend the evening with
them.
Yeah,
and then you go to dinner with them or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
So I like a kids club. If your kids are of age, I think most kids clubs start around 2.5.
Yeah.
And I just like Mexico. But look, in general, we didn't even try going overseas with them when they were little, not necessarily because they were little, but because we had no money. So like, I mean, if I would have had a ton of money, I would have just hired a nanny to come with me.
That's actually one thing I'm proud of. We never had a nanny.
Well, again, we had no money.
No, that's not true. Like, once we got the business rolling, we could have, but we chose not to. We actually built the business and our lifestyle around raising our kids. And we've talked about this in the past, is that, like, we didn't want a nanny because we wanted to raise our kids.
No judgment, though. I mean, if you have a nanny,
no, I have plenty of friends who have more than one nanny. Yeah. And, you know, it works for some people, and there's advantages. Like, there's certain trips, like there's a trip this year that we want to take that we're not going to take because the kids are in school, and maybe if we had a nanny we would take that trip, but honestly, we got 3.5 years left with the kids in the house, and I want to try to enjoy every moment of that as humanly possible.
Yeah, I don't know if we answered the question of travel tips.
it's just start later, make sure that they're mobile, and before that, take them to a kids club. Those are the tips. And obviously we've talked about this a million times. We do everything with American Express points. So get really good at maximizing points, particularly if you have your own business.
So next question is, finish going into your early years together, getting married, having the kids, and then starting to work together.
Go ahead.
Multiple questions.
That's a lot.
There is a lot. So we can start with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first met, what did we first talk about?
Football.
Right. And how am I programmed in your phone?
As Eagles.
Right. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Snuck that in. I set that up.
So
that was total setup.
Yeah. So I was living in Las Vegas when I met John. And John was in Vegas for a conference.
Yep.
And he was working for a mortgage company at the time. And we met at a bar at the Bellagio, and just exchange numbers, really. Talked a little bit about football, exchange numbers. Would you agree?
Yes, there's a little bit more detail, which I think is more colorful.
Okay.
So she put me on the phone as Eagles because I told her that if she gave me her number, I would call her, and the next time that the Eagles and the Vikings play, I would fly her out to Philadelphia for the Eagles-Vikings game. And she told me, and I quote, "You are full of shit." So it, unbeknownst to me, about 30 days later, I came back for another conference to Vegas. And I was going to be there almost 2 weeks. And I didn't text her the first day. I texted her the second day because I didn't want to appear too anxious.
Like I would have even known.
I understand. But this was what was going through my head.
All right.
And so I texted her on that second day and said, "Hey, you want to meet for a drink?" And we met for a drink. And we have literally talked every single day.
I should have asked when you texted me, is this the first day you're here or the second day?
Yeah, you should have. Yeah. But we've literally talked every day since. And
pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we went straight to, you know, we talked about living together in San Jose and other things before, but that was, and for me, it was very quick. I knew right away that I wanted to be with her.
So John was living in New Jersey. Did you say that?
Well, I talked about Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah,
so John was living in Southern New Jersey. I was in Las Vegas. So we long distance dated for about 6 months, I would say. Mm-hmm. Then he got a job offer in San Jose, California, and decided to take it, working for a motorcycle company. And shortly after that, I moved out to San Jose, California with him, and we moved in together. I, at the time, had just purchased a house in Vegas probably 9 months earlier. So I sold my house in Vegas. It was at the top of the job market. It was at the peak of the housing market. So, like, I sold my house. I made, like $100,000 in my house really, really quick, which was huge amount of money for me back then, right? I just bet it all and moved in with him.
Well, there's a little bit more to that story, too.
Okay.
So, at the time, the market was going crazy, and everyone was buying houses.
What year was this?
So, this was
2004,
yeah. And so, I was like, you should sell that house, because you've crushed it and I'm worried about this market. And remember, I spent the first 20 years of my career in the mortgage and real estate market. And her sister at the time was a real estate agent, and she sold it. And literally, she closed almost within 30 days of the peak of the Las Vegas market. The Las Vegas market was one of the first markets to collapse. And it took over 10 years for that house to get back to the price that she sold it for.
True.
So that was, that'll play in the future episodes about house hunting and why I have a certain mentality that I do. So that is all true. And so she, you know, she made a very nice profit very quickly in less than a year on that house. So.
Yes.
And then the next part of the question is getting married.
Oh gosh.
You want to tell that story? That's funny.
I mean, John, okay, I'll start with this because I'll defend him a little bit. You know, he was married before. I was not. It was my first marriage, his second. He dragged his feet. I mean, yes. It was 4 years, and ultimately it came down to an ultimatum, in my opinion.
It was, and I can remember exactly where I was. And she, well, actually, there was an ultimatum, but then there was a decision. She took action, and this is actually another thing I appreciate about her. I can still remember exactly where I was. I was working in New York City at 45 Rockefeller Center, which is the big building with the Atlas statue in front of it. And I was in the elevator going down to lunch with two of my colleagues who were hysterical guys. Anyway, very funny guys. And Sherry calls me and says, I'm planning a wedding. We're going to Belize. And she says, Kelly's going to do everything. And all you have to do is show up.
My sister was a wedding planner in Belize at the time. Mm.
And to which I said, okay, I'm going to lunch. And I went to lunch and she planned the wedding and it was awesome. And we got married. So I actually appreciated her just like taking the action. So it is in the terms of like the most romantic of nuptials, it was about as far from romantic as it could possibly be.
John was a zero.
I was a zero on...
zero out of ten for romance.
Yeah, 0 out of 10 for romance. It was purely, she just said, hey, we're getting married. I'm going to plan everything. All you have to do is show up. I said, okay, I'm going to lunch.
But don't you feel like there was some conversation that, like, if you're not marrying me, I'm out? I feel like there was some
There was
that.
Like 20 of those before that. Yeah. Right. Like, but the actual seminal moment was you called me and told me, you weren't asking me anymore.
Right.
You told me we were getting married.
My feeling on this, and this is like pre-social media days, like there was no chatter about how long should you wait before you get a marriage proposal. But look, we met when I was 27. Was I 30 or 31?
Well,
I was 31. I think I had just turned 31 when I told you.
Well,
this.
It was 17 years ago because it's going to be.
So it's 31.
So on February 21st is our 17th wedding anniversary. So
I think I told you around October that we were getting married.
So
we
you're 31.
Married. Okay.
31.
So wait.
Or I guess
I just turned 31. Yeah. Yes, I agree. Yeah, so I just turned 31. I'm pretty sure it was probably like around October. We ended up getting married in February, but you know that's 4 years that I put in, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not gonna hang around much longer because I knew I wanted kids. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I have to get like the marriage to me because I've never been like a girly bride. Like I want to design my whole wedding because we eloped. So I didn't care about that. I didn't care about the wedding. I just wanted to have kids and to me it was important to be married before I had kids. So yeah. And I was ready to have kids. I told him we're getting married and I wanted to see how he would respond, and he responded favorably. So we got married. But yeah, I would say 4 years is enough to give a guy. Like, I think that's plenty.
Yeah. Look, I agree. And
like, if he's not ready after 4 years, then he's probably not going to be ready. So
yes.
It was either marry me or I'm moving on.
Yeah. And again, I think Sherry preface it right. I was just afraid to get married again. It had nothing to do with her. And I think she just gave me the push that I needed because I knew I didn't want to be without her. I just wasn't terribly excited about being married again. But if I had to not be with her, that would not have been a good outcome. I did not want that. And so here we are 17 years later.
Yeah.
And then the next part of the question, having the kids. So was there a similar ultimatum there?
No. We had kids like within 15 minutes of being married.
Yeah, Harper was born. We got married February 21st, coming up on our 17th.
Yeah, I think she was 17th? Expecting within 30 days of being married.
What is...
No, I'm serious. Like, within the first month, if you do the math backwards from...
Oh, I thought you said... Oh, I thought... Okay.
No, yes. Not before. After.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I had Harper in December. Married in February. Had Harper December 20th. Was lucky to get her pregnant really quick. I was very, very excited. I couldn't wait.
We went to the REO Speedwagon Def Leppard concert, and we learned after that that she was actually pregnant. We didn't know yet that she was actually pregnant when we were at that concert.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was thrilled. I was so excited because I was totally ready to be a mom at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need to have a honeymoon phase. I didn't need to, like, I'd already been with him for 4 years. Been there, done that. Let's have a kid.
And then, Rex came, you know, 18 months, not even quite 18 months after.
Yeah, so. And both of our kids were planned. Yeah. So no surprises, and I got pregnant really, I was very lucky.
Wasn't quite Irish twins, but it was close.
No.
So
yeah, they were both planned. So
how did you come up with their names?
Oh gosh, I made long lists. I was like totally opposite in, like, I didn't care about weddings and being a bride, but I totally was into the names. So I did like long lists of names that I would send John when he was at work, and he would usually hate all my names. So it was just a process of elimination where he would finally agree to something, right?
Yeah, and there were things that I would like, there were things that she would like, but there were very few things that we both liked. Harper was one.
Harper, we agreed to, I believe, once we found out she was a girl at 18 weeks,
yeah,
it was Harper. We just didn't name her middle name until she was born. Once she was born, we decided, we were in the hospital and
we were.
You were writing a bunch of different names down. And then we just decided, okay, Quincy, it's Quincy.
Yeah.
HQ, Harper HQ. Quincy.
Yes.
And that was it.
So.
Cute. And then the last part of that question is starting to work together.
Did we tell this story yet?
I don't know. You can.
Do we tell the story about? All right. So we haven't told. All right. So this is a famous one of our conversations.
Famous?
One of our famous, famous. One of our famous, like, for us internal question or conversation. So I was doing some consulting work. I was on the board of advisors of a company in Brooklyn, and I took a call. I was doing like an update call on a Sunday. And it was one of those days where I looked at Sherry kind of during the call and as I wrapped up the call, and I could tell she was pissed and I was in trouble for something. I just didn't know what it was yet. And so I apologize in advance, but there's going to be some expletives here. But I'm going to give you the conversation exactly the way it happened and exactly the same amount of time that it actually took. She goes, "Why the fuck are you going to go make some other asshole a bunch of money? Why don't you come and help me?" I said, "Because we will fucking kill each other." And she goes, "Well, we just have to get over that." I said, "Okay, remember, this was your idea." That was the entire conversation. And it literally took place that fast.
Well, I think we were in the PV house.
Yeah, we were.
When you were
in PV. That's correct.
On the phone doing consulting. And at the time, we had a two-bedroom. The kids shared a room. It was a very small house. And he would do his conference calls, and he would make me keep the kids quiet, which is not easy when you are in a small house.
With toddlers.
Well, they were a little older than toddlers, but...
Not much.
I think Harper was 4 and Rex was 3. I think that's out of the toddler stage, don't you think?
Maybe not.
Anyway, so I feel like that happened, and it was super annoying because I couldn't keep the kids quiet, and he's on a call. But then we eventually bought a small house, right? And that's when we actually decided to work together.
No, but the first conversation, I remember it as vivid. We were in that house, and we did start, like, I went and got the warehouse when we were in the new house, which was shortly thereafter.
Okay. Well, right. Maybe we remember.
The reason was we had inventory. We had inventory in every room in the house, including the bathroom at that time. So, like, there was inventory everywhere. We couldn't even walk in our house. There was so much stuff.
Yeah, I remember two separate events, but I think we just remember it differently. But, yeah, I mean, after years of watching John consulting with other companies and living the way we lived, which was not glamorous. You know, there was a point where, like, I was cutting my kids' activities, like swim lessons, like budgeting, because we didn't have a lot of dough. And, I could I live on a shoestring? Yeah. But I felt like we have more potential than this. We could do better. And so I was like, my business was taking off. I had started an e-commerce business after years and years of blogging. And like John said, inventory was taking over the house. It wasn't a big house. It was like 2,200 square feet, but it was literally in every single room. I was shipping packages morning, noon, and night. Yes. I remember one year my parents were in town and I had my dad help bring boxes to the post office. Because back mm-hmm. then we were driving every single day to the post office to ship the boxes. There was no postal service picking up at my house at the time. But that's when we really were like, okay, there's something here. Yes, right? Do 100%. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
And to me, that's when I'm like, that's when the conversation came along that John was talking about, where he's like, we're just going to have to get over our differences and figure out how to work together.
Yeah. Well, that one was, yes, it became more tactical, right? I was just solving like, okay, I got to go and negotiate a warehouse lease, right?
Yeah.
So that was different.
And we were sitting on that really grimy yellow couch. It was had stains all over it. It was so gross. Do you remember?
I remember.
We ended up throwing it away when we moved out of that house.
My mom cried when she came to visit us.
So yeah. She saw like a cockroach in our house.
Yes.
Believe it or not, even though our house is messy, is actually not. You could have a cockroach in the cleanest house in Arizona. It just happens.
It's pretty common.
Mm-hmm. But no, we did not put any emphasis on, you know, decorating or painting the house. We were like, just every single dollar, we would just reinvest in the business.
It wasn't just every single dollar. It was every single minute.
Yeah. I mean,
every ounce of energy we had, we put into that business. We would come home and collapse.
Yeah.
It's not like we came home and like, and so, but we, that was a conscious choice. We said, we're going to put everything we have, money and time, mm-hmm. into this, and it will be worth it. And it was.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people just didn't get it at the time.
My mom certainly didn't.
Right? Look, everybody's different. Everybody's different, though, so I think there's different ways to grow a business. For us, it was just like, hey, let's be as minimalist as possible.
Correct.
Like, we're not going to go out to eat. We're not, like, back then, I don't think I'd never gotten my nails done in my life. Now I get my nails done,
hadn't
like,
taken a vacation
once a month.
In 3 years.
I never got a haircut. Like, I just was, like, as bare bones. I always said, if I ever become wealthy, I'm going to get coffee at the coffee shop. So I never bought myself coffee. True. I was so frugal.
She was.
But it was, like, to me, it was fulfilling because I was working towards something. Like, I had a goal. So it was fine. And like, you know, John was the same. You were on board too. Like we were both.
There's a minimalist person in me. I joke with Sherry all the time. I am like, I watched this guy build a house. He went into the wilderness for 30 days all by himself and filmed himself building a house out of stones and wood. And there's a part of me where I could be that guy. I could just like leave civilized world behind and just go somewhere and like live off the grid and build shit. So, like, I have that in me. She's, I would say, just she has a frugal mindset, which is good, and it's really helpful when you're an early-stage bootstrap entrepreneur.
Yeah, so. And I really think it was a very bootstrap business in the beginning. Like, we had nothing.
We put $7,000 in, never put another dime in.
Yeah.
That was it, and we scaled it, and that's the best $7,000 investment I ever made, and I've had some pretty good investments.
I remember going to my reunion, and people would ask me, like, my goal, and I'd be like, I just want to be a millionaire. I want to make $1 million. Like, to me, that was such a big goal. And, like, I thought, oh, if I just become a millionaire, like, have $1 million, I'll have made it in the world. Yes. Right? That was, like, my goal.
Inflation kicked the shit out of that idea. But, Yeah, I think I remember talking to my first boss, and I was like, oh, I can't wait until I make $100,000. I can't wait until I make, and he's like, he goes, all you do is just buy more shit. And and he was totally right. I mean, that's basically what happened. So one thing that I've done, we've done together well, is I am a prolific saver. Like, I save first. Like, the first thing I do in every company I'm in, every paycheck I've ever gotten, I put money aside. And so saving has become a big part. But anyway.
Well, thank you for answering all the questions today, and thank you everybody for listening.